This is the On the Pony Express podcast,
part of the On3 Network.
Check out all the SMU coverage you need at ontheponyexpress.com. Now, here's your host, Billy Embody.
Billy Embody.
1, 2, 3, let's go.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. I am Billy Embody. Thanks for listening. Got commitment news from the SMU football team. We'll run that down in just a moment. But first, wanted to remind you guys, we are presented by our friends at Status Jet. Statusjet.com. Reach out to David Henry and his team, and we'll have a conversation later on in the podcast with two of his employees, and one of them being a former SMU football player and Ace Gardner. But StatusJet is that company to get you from point A to point B with the level of luxury that you'd expect from a private jet charter company. Big planes, small planes, helicopters, whether you're looking to buy or sell a plane, StatusJet and their team can help you out. And if you use code PONYUPACC, you can get a discount on a round trip flight. Give them a call, 866-902-4914. Or go to statusjet.com for more information on them and what they can do for you. It is that time of year where people are starting to plan their summer travel adventures, and they can help you plan yours as you go through the process of getting your summer travel lined up. Now, with that out of the way, SMU did pick up news of a transfer on Tuesday night, and kind of a late night news on that front, as SMU landed a commitment from former Florida State and East Carolina offensive lineman Kayshon Sapp. He is a former three-star prospect that entered the transfer portal this fall after Florida State's season and transferred to East Carolina, spent the spring with the Pirates, and ended up making a move back into the transfer portal. So that is the wild world that we live in with the transfer portal. But SMU has been high on Kayshon Sapp for a minute. He was a guy that I believe SMU offered when he went into the transfer portal this fall, or at least looked at him. I could be off on that. But nonetheless, they did offer this week, and he quickly accepted and made his commitment Tuesday night. And for me, this is a depth play by Garen Justice to address the interior of the offensive line. When you look at it and what they have in that mix, and this is the positive piece of maybe gaining a couple more scholarships than people might have thought on the surface. Like when you thought of Jaden Jones entering the portal, he's a move that like makes sense. Some of these other guys like Brian Massey and others that enter the portal, you're kind of like, okay, thought they might finish things out at SMU, but moving on creates roster flexibility. Like right now with Kayshon Sapp in the mix now for SMU, I've got them at 79 scholarships. Well, we know that they want to add a corner. We know they want to add an offensive tackle. We know they want to add another defensive lineman. These are all multiple players that would not even get them to 85. So we know Rhett Lashley and his staff like to make sure that offensive line is well stocked. And along the interior, if you have Logan Parr, Justin Osborne, let's call it, Ja'Kai Clark, you have Nate Anderson, who you just brought in, you have Alex Woods, you have King Large and Graham Uter arriving this summer. You just kind of wanted to go ahead and address that position, maybe with a little bit more depth. Sapp has played in two career games. He's not somebody that is going to come in and challenge for a starting job. He's been through a lot. He grew up without a father, lost a cousin that was really close to him that just reading up about him has really affected him. And so for SMU to go ahead and take a chance, take a flyer on him, I think says a lot about at least what they know about him as a human being. And they want to bring him in. He can bring that depth piece. Again, he's gotten on the field at Florida State, so not completely hopeless in that sense, but played in two career games, still very young, has 3 years of eligibility remaining after redshirting as a true freshman in 2022. He played in one game each season, both against group of five opponents that the Noles had, but now he's coming over to SMU, 3 years of eligibility, kind of evens out that room a little bit when you look at Ja'Kai Clark leaving after this year, when you look at J.O. leaving after this year, you look at the veteran group that they'll have, Nate Anderson, Logan Parr, guys like that. This kind of just adds a depth piece moving forward with the interior guys. So that news came quickly from the point of him being offered to SMU, picking up the commitment, and the Mustangs now add a piece to the puzzle for this offensive line overall. And it just kind of a surprising one in a sense, just because it happened so quickly. But the Mustangs did get him on board. And obviously now he is going to be a part of the future of this team. And we'll see kind of if they can catch fire with somebody like him and see if they can bring him along and maybe get him to the point where he could contribute in some sort of a role. Remember, SMU likes to rotate those offensive linemen. They like to find guys that can help them improve their depth, overall competition, all of those things. And so that's what Kayshon Sapp does at the very least, is bring that depth into a little bit better shape going into fall camp. So we'll see. The transfer portal window runs until April 30th, I believe. So SMU could very well, you know, lose somebody maybe when it comes to the transfer portal, maybe a depth piece that doesn't see a role going forward. But Kayshon Sapp is now the latest addition for the Mustangs on the offensive line. And he has 3 years of eligibility remaining, so multiple years, and not a guy that is necessarily going to command much NIL either. So not really eating into that, so to speak. When it comes to what's next for the transfer portal with SMU, the Mustangs continue to look at top targets. We told you guys this week to kick off the podcast, we dropped the note on one of their top targets that was on campus this weekend for an official visit. Again, subscribe to ontheponyexpress.com for just $1 for 2 months, gets you covered for those first 2 months for just $1 using the code SMU1. That's SMU the number one. Tons of people have jumped on board. We are nearing, this is incredible. I'll just share this with you guys. I appreciate everybody who subscribed. When we came to On3, left a great situation. We've already surpassed where we were just in a little over 2 years now at On3. So appreciate everybody who's jumped on board. But we're not done yet. The more people that subscribe, the better the site could be. So keep that in mind if you're considering subscribing to ontheponyexpress.com. When it comes to the transfer portal, SMU does have at least one silent commitment on board in the transfer portal. So we'll be ready to share that news with you when we can on who that is. But we'll be keeping an eye on multiple guys that are entering the transfer portal. We're still seeing guys announce that they're planning to do that. So things are continuing to heat up in the transfer portal. So SMU will look to address corner. They'll look to address safety. Defensive line, they'll always look to address, and then offensive tackle. And so I think for me, SMU is in a good spot as they now have, by my count, six scholarships to play around with. I could be off by one or two, but I think I'm pretty accurate on that. And the goal for this staff is to just get out without having any surprises over the next week. And so the coaching staff really hasn't gone on the road recruiting. And some people might punch their steering wheel hearing that. But the goal is to keep this roster intact. And then they have a whole month to hit the trail, go see commitments in the class of 2025. Get out to spring games, spring practices, evaluate some other targets, and also really be able to go out to places nationally like we've seen them do, go out to Atlanta and see some of their commitments that they have, do all of those things. So the goal for this staff is to retain the roster that they have in place because they feel like it's a good one. They feel like it's one that helps them immediately compete in the ACC right away. So they're continuing to look for pieces, add pieces, and we'll have all of that covered for you guys at ontheponyexpress.com. Quickly, guys, SMU basketball did announce a staff addition with Jay Morris, former USC assistant, now officially on board with SMU. He was in a picture very early on in the Andy Enfield era. He's been around. He's been waiting on all of his kind of background checks. They announced two other staffers as well that were kind of in between the first two, the Chris Capco announcement as associate head coach, and then Eric Mobley and Kirk Karras being announced as assistants. So they have their strength coach. They have their director of basketball operations. So he has most of his staff in place. He does have another hire that's been made. That's going to be, I don't know when it'll be announced, but it'll be announced in the near future, I would imagine. Or at least he starts getting to work here pretty soon. And then they do have an assistant spot still open. And they're, I think, being very deliberate with that spot because they want it to be a really quality hire that in all likelihood has Texas, serious Texas ties, and has recruited the state and knows the landscape. They already have a good one coming on board when it comes to adding to those Texas ties. So they're checking a box there, but in the assistant spot, they're looking to address that as well. So we'll be keeping close tabs on as those things move forward to the next step. And if we can share them with you guys at ontheponyexpress.com, but SMU did get Jay Morris on board officially and was able to announce him, but he's been here from the beginning. So it's just one of those things where paperwork, background checks sometimes take a little bit longer than you would have thought. He was with the Trojans, obviously, the last three seasons. He was at San Diego State for a few years before that, and then was at he was also at San Jose State, Long Beach State. He was at Nevada with Eric Musselman, funny enough. He's still a relatively young guy coming up through the coaching ranks, so pretty much as expected so far for Andy Enfield's staff and what's next for them. They did host a transfer portal target this week as well. So we had some notes on that at ontheponyexpress.com. So check that out. But really, the staff just continues to come together, work on the targets, and we'll keep you guys updated as best as possible on those efforts. I know everybody's ready for a commitment, but look, you would love to see it. And they do have one in Kerry Oquendo, who they really, really like. He's a winner. He's been around a winning program in Oregon. He's a really talented athletic player who can help them in their rotation. Not an end-all be-all add, but somebody that can help them. What this staff really wants to do is find the right pieces, obviously. And look, there are more guys that enter the transfer portal. There are more targets out there. They're working on it. And for me, and I've said this with Rob Lanier, and I took this approach, I'm trying to take this approach with each offseason with basketball because it is so different. I want to see the final pieces, and then I want to look at the overall landscape and see maybe where SMU fits in. But as much as you'd like to see it be fast, furious, and easy, it's not these days. It's not like football. It's just wild how the transfer portal is in basketball. But guys continue to enter and options continue to emerge. So with that, guys, we're going to send it over to our interview with Ace Gardner, former SMU football player, who's also working on something pretty cool with Coach's View. I've got the chance to go on their app that they've developed and go through their entire kind of experience that they offer to colleges. And he wanted to share some about that. But also we talked a little bit about SMU, his playing days, and what he sees from the program. So looking forward to having more SMU football players and athletes in general on the podcast. So guys, if you're an SMU, former SMU football player, basketball player, whatever player, reach out. If you wanted to come on the podcast, we can talk about your career and also what you're doing these days. People want to hear from you guys as well. So hope you guys enjoy this interview with Ace Gardner, former SMU football player, and his colleague at Coach's View, Jacob Lewis. So thanks again to Status Jet for hooking this up. And we will catch you guys next time on the Pony Express podcast. Enjoy the interview. Welcome back to the On the Pony Express podcast. Happy to be joined now by our next guests, and we'll get to both of them in just a minute. But I do want to bring in Ace Gardner, former SMU football player, to join the podcast. I've talked to you guys about wanting to have more former players on, and we're going to begin with Ace, who comes connected with us through one of our sponsors and our presenting sponsor in statusjet.com and David Henry. But I want to bring in Ace now and talk with him about his latest venture, his time playing for SMU football. And we'll also be joined by one of his coworkers, Jacob Lewis, in just a moment. But Ace, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on all the success. How's everything going?
Going well. Excited to be on with you today. So looking forward to this conversation.
And you played at SMU in the late 90s. Let's start with the overall program and kind of where it's come. What have you seen from your perspective as SMU's now arrived and gotten into the ACC? You were there for some ups and downs, but obviously we're a contributor to those teams as well. What was it like watching the program go from where it was and now where it is?
You know, it's interesting. I would say it's been an appropriate journey watching it. And what I mean by that is when I came in, obviously was not too far removed from the return of after the death penalty, but we were kind of on an upswing. We had a really good recruiting class. We were top five in the country, actually, with our recruiting class. We put 13 people in the NFL from that four-year period that I was there. So we were very heavy with talent, but it was still a challenge. It was an uphill climb. We had the first winning season since the death penalty. That was the 97 season, I believe. So it was really exciting from that standpoint, but it was still a challenge from the standpoint of being taken seriously and then just some of the frustrations playing in the Cotton Bowl as your home field with 75,000 plus seats, knowing that it just wasn't going to get filled at the time. But then watching the June, well, before June Jones, it was really bad. But then the June Jones era, kind of an uptick. We got into some bowl games, had some good winning seasons. Then after that, to see Chad Moore come in and elevate it a little bit further. And then, of course, Dykes came in and took it way further. And now we're with Lashley, first conference championship. So it's been a journey, man. It's been painful at times to watch, but I definitely have appreciated the fact that it's been a transition the whole way through towards progress.
What was your perception of SMU when Coach Rosley and his staff started recruiting you? What was their pitch back then? He was the first, he was the second coach hired at SMU, yeah, after, of course, Forrest Gregg. But what was that like as he was starting to recruit you? Where was the program kind of at that yeah, stage when he started calling?
I remember that like it was yesterday. So the school I came from would win a state championship. We were number four in the country. I was getting recruited by almost everybody, but I committed to Texas Tech already. And they had just won the Copper Bowl, I think, which was Spike Dykes, Sonny Dykes' dad. And I just committed there. That was my first visit. And my dad told me I had to take the rest of my visits. Didn't want to visit SMU. Enjoyed it. Had a good time, but still was committed to Texas Tech. The pitch that Rosley made was interesting. But looking back on it, it was so accurate. He said, "Tim, Ace, they're so afraid of SMU returning to what we're capable of because they know once we arrive there, we're going to be very hard to deal with from a recruiting perspective." And so that was his pitch, which, to a young man was kind of hard to understand. But Jerry Gray was actually the reason that I signed with SMU. Jerry Gray was the defensive backs coach at the time. He was on the all-time team at UT, three-time Pro Bowler with the Rams, played my position. And my dad was a pastor of a church. He came and went to church with us on a Sunday. But that was the reason that I actually signed. And I'm glad I did, but that was the reason.
Looking back on your career, what were some of the highs that you experienced that you look back on? You played DB, returned kicks, punts. What was it all like?
There were a lot of them, man. I would say the biggest highlight for me was beating Arkansas twice. That was exciting. And, it was when you have a lot of talent, but you're not winning as many games as you should, it's validation to play against a school like that and be able to come away with the win, because you know, okay, we have the capability to do it. But the biggest highlight at SMU for me was my teammates. I mean, honestly, we definitely had some extraordinary individuals. We still do to this day. I think SMU does a great job just as a university of finding extraordinary people. We were a team full of individuals that could have gone out to a lot of other places, but accepted the challenge to turn a program around that we thought really had extreme potential. So, you know, those were the highlights. Of course, the lows were the tough losses. And then not only the tough losses, but just that shadow of the death penalty. And every time you told somebody you played for SMU, that would be the first thing they would say to you. And it was hard to accept that, you know, like, we're more than that, you know, so it was difficult. But, you know, I rarely get asked that question these days, which has been much more fun because they want to talk about different things.
You shared the Wild Horse Award late in your career with a few of your teammates. Well, you know, as you look back on it all now, what would you say to somebody that is considering SMU? And again, like you said, you committed and signed there or flipped there, I guess, when, you know, the program was still kind of coming back from the death penalty. You could say it still is, without a doubt. But what would you say that really stuck out about your time at SMU, you know, and what translates kind of to today's athlete still?
I would definitely say that the people. I really had a great time just developing some very meaningful relationships. My teammates have gone on to do some amazing things. You know, you and I even talked about it. Some of the guys I talked to about the other day, and just being surrounded by those types of people and the environment. It's such an environment that inspires you to reach for literally the highest. You know, not just to go out into the world and do something, but to go out in the world and be that guy, that girl that really does something. So I really appreciated that. And obviously, even right now, I'm in business with another alumni. The alumni connection with SMU is exceptional. I'm sure other universities, obviously, they have great alumni connections as well. But SMU is a little different. Being a private school, we're not as big. So when we connect, I feel like it's a little more meaningful than if two people from UT connect, because we, you know, we kind of, it's a unique fraternity type situation.
And let's get to that now. What are you doing right now, you know, with your career working with Coach's View, and tell us a little bit about that, as we can bring in Jacob Lewis now, one of your coworkers on it.
He's gonna come out of the green room. So, yeah, everybody, this is Jacob.
Hello.
So, yeah, Coach's View is a breath of fresh air, if you would, just for the industry of collegiate recruiting. It's ironic that something that so much money goes into every year in such a big industry like college football or any college sport, that there hasn't been very many technological advancements. And what I mean by that is just from a standpoint of being able to effectively engage and collect data on the individuals that you're recruiting and to have usable data to help you make better decisions about it. You know, at the end of the day, it's been call, email, text, and try to stay relevant and get them on campus. But we've been blessed to develop a platform that goes far beyond that. We offer 360 tours, which are really interesting and unique, but obviously you can get that on a website in different places, but we capture data and information about the athletes as they move through the tours, and it tells the coaches what they're most interested in. Are they interested in the science building? They get to do things like choose uniform combinations. And when you get an athlete on campus, instead of just putting a jersey in the locker, you have the exact uniform combination that they picked out. And those kind of things resonate with today's recruits. I mean, they were all born with iPhones, so they're used to this curated world. So we transcend that into the application. And it does much more than that. At the end of the day, it's really a CRM for recruiting, which we're the first of its kind. We've taken a lot of things and combined it together. And Jacob's really the mastermind of understanding the full operations of everything. And he's come in and added some unique features that have really made a big difference, even looking at education, educating them before they get on campus and their acclimation process, and being able to do all that through a phone, which is groundbreaking for the recruiting process.
And so as these schools and these programs invest in your app and in your experience that you can bring to the student athletes, what I've seen from you guys is they can, you know, install different experiences, running out of the tunnel, different campus tours, like you guys, you know, mentioned on there. This has got to be something where in this day and age of, you know, so many visits being taken, these guys can then pop onto these campuses whenever they want and tour these campuses without having to go there. That's got to give them a little bit of a leg up in terms of trying to determine what they do need to show them too when they do get these prospects on campus visits.
Exactly. Yeah. Our goal here at Coaches View isn't to eradicate on-campus in-person visits. We actually want to drive and boost engagement and interest in the campus and university by creating immersive virtual tours, as you can see here. And so our tours are customizable based on the university's unique needs. And they can take live 360 tours of their practice field, indoor facilities, locker rooms. It's a comprehensive athletic tour, and it also highlights spots on campus that Tim was alluding to. And so, like you said, these recruits can take this tour anytime, anywhere. And best part is if there's any family members who possibly won't make it to in-campus or on-campus in-person tour, they can always show them with Coach's View, like I said, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, which is pretty unique. You know, I remember when I was being recruited, some of the ones that my dad didn't make it to with me, you know, being able to come back and he'd have a million questions about what it was like, but it would be really cool to just pick up my phone and be able to say, hey, this is literally exactly what it was like to be there.
Yeah. And as a coach, you know, we're aware that there's several recruiting tools out there. And so we've created a comprehensive recruiting suite where we integrate 6+ features into our platform. And I want to highlight our game day feature and our education feature. So really another goal at Coaches View for our universities and coaches that are recruiting is to expedite, streamline, and give the coaches more time back within the recruiting process. And so the education feature is really, it's versatile. Whether you want to educate them on academic responsibilities that they need to take care of, onboarding, have everything from medical insurance, you know, the whole nine covered, or you want to go the athletic route, where they break down footwork, you know, this is our lifting form and technique. They could even have surface level playbook information if they'd like. You know, basically if a coach has ever asked the question or thought, man, I really wish that we could teach these recruits this information before they arrive on campus, that's specifically what our education feature is for. Now, our game day feature is extremely exciting because historically, what coaches would have to do is rely on imagery and the use of words to paint a picture to their recruits and kind of sell the story of how amazing game day is at their campus, the atmosphere, what it feels like. Well, now they don't even have to talk at all. I mean, talk about an icebreaker. You literally just have to send over the tour and they can immerse themselves in what it feels like to run out with the team, step out with the team on the court, you know, feel the crowd screaming, the excitement, the chants. And, you know, it's extremely innovative and it's definitely something revolutionary to the recruitment industry.
Yeah. And that's a really hard thing for coaches to communicate when they're talking to an athlete. You're trying to get them to understand, like Jacob said, what it's like on game day, what tailgating is like for SMU, what it's like to walk down the boulevard. And you're trying to convey all this to a generation that is used to learning everything visually. So there's a communication gap. So in a lot of ways, we're bridging that gap of communication to say, you know what, let me just stop talking. Here's what it looks like. This is what it feels like, and let them experience that.
You know, while he's touching on that too, it also breaks geographical limitations, right? Typically what universities would like to do is recruit out of their backyard per se. Well, now we allow, you know, even international recruiting, if that's something you're interested in, you know, every corner of the United States, whatever sport, wherever, whenever, we're 100% NCAA compliant. So during the dead zone period where they're not allowed to talk to recruits, our communication and engagement feature is shut off. But the unique aspect of that is these kids are able to still take the tours. And while they're still taking the tours, even through the dead period where there's no communication, their analytics are being tracked. How long they've been there, where did they go, how long did they stay there, And then from there, you can infer, okay, you know, this student athlete is probably going to be a business major. They like this uniform. Let's have this set out for media day whenever we take pictures for them. You know, and it's, like I said, it's just really innovative for coaches.
And guys, thanks so much for doing this. I mean, Ace, is so cool to see you obviously still in the game and doing this. And Jacob, you've been a huge help with everything we're doing with Status Jet, and both of you guys have. So, look, appreciate you guys stopping in. We're going to have you guys back on, talk a little bit more. You guys are expanding. All right. Texas Tech, as you guys saw, was one of the early adopters. SMU, working on getting them in there a little bit more as well. Tennessee, there's a lot of big things happening with Coach's View. So congratulations on all the success, guys, and thanks for stopping in.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, pony up.
That was Ace Gardner and Jacob Lewis talking with us about Coach's View, but also looking back on Ace's career. Is fun to have a chat with him, and we'll be having more former Mustangs on, especially in the offseason, to see what they're doing with their careers. And obviously things are going well for Ace and Jacob there as they build out that Coach's View platform. Want to appreciate Status Jet one more time, as well as they really brought that to us. David Henry and his team continue to be the leaders in that private jet charter company space. They can get you from point A to point B with that level of luxury and attention to detail that you want. Hey, maybe we'll have to get Coach's View to set up that 360 tour of a plane at some point too. So hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. We will catch you guys later this week with another edition. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the On the Pony Express podcast with Billy Embody.
Follow us on your socials on X at SMU on 3 and on Instagram at On3SMU.
And keep it locked to OnThePonyExpress.com for more coverage.